Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your sports bros, Rop and Souk.
We have tragedy in the world of sports.
Why?
Another first pitch.
Who died?
Conor McGregor. The first pitch. Why? Why do they continue to do it when they know that they can't throw a baseball? Conor McGregor went out at the Cubs game and produced, again, I don't know where to rank him, one of the worst first pitches you'll ever see.
Yeah, well, I'm confused by that first pitch because he, first of all, he's a lefty.
Yeah.
Second, he almost hits like the on deck circle.
Yes.
If you can imagine.
Yeah.
But he gets points for actually winging it and throwing it like you would throw a baseball.
Does he? That's how you would throw a baseball?
Yeah. I mean, that's better than a lot of them.
Boy, I don't know. Let's go to Mike Lynch on this. I'm going to need a second opinion on this. The mechanics on that, you're saying that's how you would throw a baseball?
Well,
that's how you would throw a baseball?
Well, no. I'm saying, compared to the guys who, and forgive me for the sexist commentary, you're used to that from Souk and not from me. So I will be better after I say this. He doesn't throw like a girl.
He throws as if someone, though, like, I know he's got the shattered leg, but it appears that his shoulder is broken.
Well, maybe it is.
It's not really good form. He just lets go way too late.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's great form, but he doesn't, like, it's not embarrassing form. It's just the where the ball ends up. What are you? Is that the steroids?
He hits the backstop a good solid 15 feet to the right of home plate. He about puts it into the first row. So I guess if you want to give him credit, I maybe for the oomph he puts behind it. His only thing is he's got to blame the suit because he's wearing a suit that appears to be three sizes too small.
Well,
so maybe he just goes with the fitted suit was just too tight, but. Again, I asked the question, you are a big star. You know that you are incapable of throwing a baseball. Why do you accept the first pitch?
I don't think he knows that he's incapable of throwing a baseball. I think that he thinks it's going to be easy. And I feel like, especially with a guy like McGregor, somebody will say, hey, do you want to warm up? And he'll be like, no,
I got this.
No. Are you kidding me? I'm Conor freaking McGregor. And then he gets out there and does that and he's embarrassed.
And he's the sort of guy that will not handle this embarrassment well. Like, in fact, someone's going to, like, the mascot.
He'll get in a fight over it tonight.
Yeah, the Cub mascot is going to end up taking, like, a 12-6 elbow because he's going to say something to McGregor. And he's such a composed individual. He just got done throwing a drink and trying to fight Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox at like the VMA Awards.
By the way, that Machine Gun Kelly guy,
yeah,
super tall.
Yeah, he
did
is.
You know that?
He's
like tall,
he's tall, but
very tall.
Probably shouldn't pick a fight with a professional fighter who's violent with like no self-control.
Do we know why that was a fight?
I think from what I read is McGregor wanted a photo with the two of them and that Machine Gun Kelly like told him to go like pound sand or something.
How tall do you think Machine Gun Kelly is?
Fantastic.
Probably 6'5", 6'4".
He's 6'4".
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
When I was hanging out with him, he seemed taller.
He seems like a giant douche, but then again, so does Conor McGregor. So.
I've only seen him. I've never heard anything he said. Machine Gun Kelly.
You're not
he just looks very angsty, but well, I don't know. What's he do? Is he a rapper?
He was a rapper, but now he rocks and or rolls.
I tell you what.
He's friends with Pete Davidson.
Having Megan Fox.
Yeah.
That gives you some cred in
my
book. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And the stuff she posts now on social media, dude. Holy cow.
Look, whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
He's probably got a hammer in his pants.
That guy's winning.
If you know what I'm saying.
Did you see the one that she posted in front of a table at an Airbnb, and she said, the things this table saw this weekend with the devil horns, and she was like scantily clad in front of it.
What is it with guys like Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson? Landing all the hots.
It's like the bad boy
Explain
sort of thing.
Explain that to me.
Well, one, you're rich.
They think they can fix them?
Well, again, it's... Go back. Rock and roll, man. Look,
They're not rock and roll.
Well, he is.
Pete Davidson is a comedian.
Well, that's true.
Give me a break.
Again, supposedly Pete Davidson's the one that's packing heat.
Oh.
That's an Ariana...
Maybe that's what it is.
That's a Grande thing. She talked about it. I guess he's,
All right.
He's working it.
Like me.
It's a tight man. They got like that tall, weird, like methed out sort of thing happening for him.
All right. Well, let's calm this down and get real boring and talk about some sports.
Also,
okay.
A lot of really gross PDA.
Whoops.
Or hot PDA, I guess, depending on how
you look. Oh, yeah. They're all over each other.
From Machine Gun and Megan.
Yeah. They just like lick each other's tongues.
Yeah. They're all over each other.
So
like, they're not really
all...
kissing. They're just like sticking their tongues out and licking them.
Again,
aren't those just bits? They're just trying to get
attention.
Clicks and
they're trying to get clicks and licks.
They're trying to get on top of TMZ.
Look, if Megan Fox wants to lick you in any way, you say yes.
She asked me. I said no.
Yeah, okay, I'm fine.
Your thumbs are too weird, Megan. Get out of here.
I said my wife's right there.
Does she have weird thumbs?
Yes.
What?
Megan Fox has weird thumbs?
What are you talking about?
Very weird thumbs.
What does that mean?
She's got
like toe thumbs?
She's got toe thumbs. Yeah.
Get right the hell out of town.
How do you know this?
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Because it's well known, I feel like.
Apparently that's a thing.
Because when she was the hottest thing ever to be in a movie, it was like, hey, she's really hot, but look at her thumbs.
What do you mean toe thumbs? Like, she has very...
she has big thumbs.
Very short, stubby.
Stubby, yeah.
Big thumbs.
Yeah. They're not long.
Yeah, it's like it's a big toe thumb. The nail's kind of weird.
Boy, that's a problem for me.
Yeah, I'm willing to overlook it.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to overlook it. Wow. I think everyone's willing to overlook it. But you, I mean, you got standards, man. You got high standards.
I already turned her down. Boy, those are bizarre.
Yeah, it's strange. And the nail's like tiny.
Hmm.
It's very odd.
Are hands an important thing for you?
No.
All right. Mike? Anyone?
They're not unimportant.
You know, like man hands from Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good way to say it. They're not unimportant.
I was on an airplane once, and look, not that it was, it's not like the interest was like just pouring out at me, and I was like, oh, please. I was on an airplane once, and ended up sitting, you know, it's always nice when you get to sit by the pretty girl, right? You're like, hey, look at this. You're always like. Hey,
happens to me all the time.
Yeah, clearly. And she was a, what are the Radio City Music Hall, like the Rockette. She was a Rockette.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'll be damned. Very interesting. So we were talking about it, and she like does Broadway shows, and she's a professional dancer, and super cool. Everything was great. We're talking for like an hour, and then her shoes came off, and I couldn't help it. And she was really nice about it. She was like, oh, yeah.
Stinky feet?
No. Have you ever seen a dancer's foot?
Oh.
Ho, 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 ho.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it in person. I just sat there and was like, what is happening there? And I'm like, I am sorry to me to be rude. She's like, no, she's like it, you know, people bring it up. I just didn't know. I was not aware that if you professionally dance for 15 or 20 years or whatever, boy, the amount of damage that does to the Tootsies, it's unbelievable. Just do yourself a favor or don't. Google professional dancer's feet. Like the...
You know what? I don't want that on my Google search history, so I will not do that.
Boy, it's a thing. And like I said, it was nothing. Her family was out here, and there was not like anything was there. But I could see that.
Whoa.
Like, I always kind of laugh about the whole, oh, that's a deal breaker. I could see someone being freaked out at looking down, like, you know, at night and having one of those things, because like her second toe was like wrapped around like the big toe from being like smooshed into shoes. So all of her toes like tried to form like one super toe. It was just, it was awful. Now, it was just this weird mass.
Could you pick out your lady friend's feet and hands out of a feet and hand lineup?
Oh. Maybe?
Probably?
Maybe? I
think I could.
Well, you've been with your wife for way longer than the two of us have been with our lady friends, so.
Well, there's that, but you should know that by now. I mean, you know, it's not a time thing. It's like, yeah, she has the same hands.
Yeah, I could probably do it.
Yeah, I think you should.
But we strip away all nail polish and everything. And
I think I could, because my girlfriend was in ballet for a long time when she was younger. So she's got really like stubby toes because of it. So that's probably pretty obvious. I don't know about her hands. They're small. But
next question would be, should you be able to pick out your wife or girlfriend's hands and feet out of a hand and feet lineup?
Probably. I mean,
you probably should.
If you see them every day or almost every day.
Can I put her in a lineup with a bunch of white gals? Because at that point, then yes.
No.
Yes, I could. So what are you saying, Rob, that all Asian feet look alike? You racist bastard. This is unbelievable.
I don't think you would be able to pick out
your
wife's feet.
Or are you saying
feet.
That by saying you want
yeah.
all white
Shut
people
up,
with
Mike.
Her?
I don't know. Now I kind of want to get like a, because all her friends are Asian. I kind of want to get like an Asian foot lineup
that,
now.
There's your next fun game
it.
After a couple of drinks
yes.
at Jason Quick's house.
An Asian foot lineup.
Have somebody take the pictures of the hands of all the Asian women there and see if you can pick out your wife's. And if you can't, she should probably leave you.
Look, that's bound to happen anyways, but well, you know, see what happens.
All right. Well,
are
we've
we finding
some...
out that Rob has a hand fetish, by the way?
No, I'm just asking like,
because he, it's a problem,
you know,
that Megan Fox has the weird thumbs to you.
That's a bit of a problem.
And now you're saying that you would certainly be able to pick out your wife's hands and feet.
You said it best when you said they're not, it's not unimportant.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not the biggest thing, but you know, you like nice hands and little feetsies.
That never really, yeah.
I think we've opened up Rob's fetish
yeah,
here.
Yeah, let me know what's up.
He likes the appendages.
Yeah.
That's not true. But we could call Rex Ryan and see what,
Look,
see what he makes of this.
I'm not saying you're Rex Ryan, but Mike's onto something here. We've
feet are gross. Hands, though, I do notice.
We have figured out.
Like
Rob likes hands.
Yeah,
I like hands. Yeah. Smaller the better. You know what I'm saying?
Because it makes you feel better.
He knows what I'm saying. all right. Well, look, we have. This is terrible.
We have derailed.
We're awful.
Yes.
Some cool things are coming up, including the top five easiest schedules remaining in college football. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Now, those pesky Mariners just sneaking up on that AL wild card all stealth-like.
Yeah,
they are only three back now after having won 3 of 4. They are back in Oakland tonight. Right meow, Yankees lead the Rangers 2-0 in the third. Red Sox and Mets are scoreless in the third. And the Blue Jays and Rays are tied 1-1 in the third.
Anything else of relevance tonight? I'm kind of scrolling through. Giants, Padres, Dodgers, Rockies. That's still a game, right? In that division. I think that's the last division that is still.
Well, the Braves are up 3 on the Phillies.
Yeah.
And you got the National League wild card. The Cardinals won again last night. They have won 9 in a row.
Yeah, the Cards are killing it.
And they are likely to be in the NL wild card game.
Yeah, but the Giants and Dodgers only a game apart, and that is a big deal because no one wants to play in the one game wild card.
Tonight for the Mariners, it is Marco Gonzalez against the A's Paul Blackburn.
Go M's.
I would say listen to it here on the fan, but we don't have the Mariners, thank God.
No.
Number four.
And I say thank God. I want them because then it would mean shorter shows for us. But then it didn't because then they put them on another station. So
yeah, they just went on 910, so it wouldn't make any difference to us.
Broncos star linebacker Bradley Chubb will undergo ankle surgery. He eyes a return later in the season.
Yeah, that's kind of the nice part now about the NFL. I love that the IR rules have changed. It used to be when this happened, you were just done for the year, but this way you can put him down in the IR, bring someone else in, fill the spot, and if he's able to go at the end of the year, throw him back in.
Texans have placed quarterback Tyrod Taylor on the IR. Davis Mills will start Thursday against Carolina.
Deshaun Watson will not be active, regardless of the injury situation, so he's done in Houston.
Browns lose receiver Jarvis Landry to the IR with a knee injury. He'll be out at least three games. And Odell Beckham, though, he's out, but they say he's close to a return.
Well, it's interesting because, remember, everyone thought he was going to play at the beginning of the year. Now here we are in week three, and we still haven't. He's coming back from an ACL tear, if I'm not mistaken.
You never know with that guy, you know?
He's productive, but, you know, I still think the best receiver on that team is Jarvis Landry. Landry is criminally underrated.
Steelers' injury list is lengthening. Ben Roethlisberger has a pec injury. Alex Highsmith, Devin Bush, Joe Hayden, and TJ Watt all have groin issues. And receiver Deontay Johnson, a knee. Now, none of those bros have been ruled out for week three against the Bengals quite yet, but something to keep an eye on.
Well, and, you know, TJ Watt, you know, came up limping pretty good. And, you know, I mean, anytime you pull a hamstring, you pull a groin, that's usually not a 5 or 6 day injury. I mean, you talk about the explosiveness that those guys have to play with. I would be very surprised if Watt ended up playing. I mean, especially this early in the year, because that's one of those things that if you don't let it heal and you go out and you re-aggravate it, that's something that can last weeks and weeks, if not months.
Superdome in New Orleans caught fire today.
How do you catch a building on fire when you're trying to paint it?
One person was injured. Minor burns. Number two. So, not horrible. But yeah, they were trying to paint the thing. Well, fire started.
Again, I asked the question, what does fire have to do with painting the Superdome? Like, are you smoking? Is there flammable paint? I've got questions.
Pressure washing was underway to clean the roof before a planned recoating of the entire roof itself. Yeah, it was contained to the exterior gutter system. I don't know. Mm. Yeah, gutters on that thing? You'd like to get that job, gutter guy?
No.
Hey, it's the Superdome. Could you go put up new gutters for us?
Actually, you probably do. That's a lot
of money. Hell yeah.
You're not the one up there.
Sharp shooting guard J.J. Redick retires from the NBA 15 seasons, says it's time to be a daddy.
Boy, that blew my mind. When I saw that he retired, my first thought was, man, he's retiring early, and then I found out he played 15 years.
He's the all-time leader in threes made in ACC history while at Duke, and he's 15th all-time in NBA history in made threes. He shot 41.5% for his career. Oh, and this story, I don't know why this is being reported again today. I feel like it is a repeat story, but it is that Ben Simmons will not be at Sixers camp next week. He will not play for them. He is done with that franchise. That's a repeat story to me, but I guess Woj had it, so now it's big.
Well, it was all, Mark Stein had it too. I think it's the fact that it's
planting his feet.
It's officially over. Like, it was like, yeah, he probably won't show up to training camp because he wants to get it figured out. Now it's like, no, he's leaving.
Well, I took that from the last time that came out, but all right. Yep. And who saw this coming for Utah? Came into the season, they were stacked, they had an actual quarterback. Now they're 1-2, and that actual quarterback is leaving. Baylor grad transfer Charlie Brewer benched last week. Cam Rising led the team back to overtime against San Diego State. He is now number one on the depth chart, so Brewer is bouncing, he is transferring. Now he has not used his redshirt year, so he could start somewhere else in 2022.
Yeah, it's just, that's gotta be the most disappointing, maybe Washington. I was gonna say, take your pick for most disappointing team in the Pac-12, but I can make a strong case for Utah. Utah, this was supposed to be a good year for them, and they thought that they could be a real contender in the South, maybe get over the hump. The rest of the conference wasn't that good. Every other position you felt good about, and you finally had your quarterback, and here we are 3 weeks in, and you bench the guy, and you've lost to BYU and a Mountain West team. I mean, that stinks. That has to sting for Utah. And they just cannot figure out that position.
Coors Light, live sports tobacco is better with a nice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. The top five easiest schedules remaining in college football. Is Oregon on the list? They might be, you know, because, yeah. Well, yeah. Pac-12.
Stony Brook. Put the entire Pac-12 schedule, because a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that have that.
And what to make of a skunky 41-point victory? Or was it skunky? I don't know. I didn't even watch it. All right. Sook's fired up. It's 5:21 on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Yeah, I was reading about Charlie Brewer here. So he's the kid leaving Utah. Left from Baylor. Transferred, although he was a four-year starter at Baylor. And who's a grad transfer. Now he loses his job to Cam Rising, and they're 1-2, and he bowls. So he'll play somewhere else next year if he wants to. But Gordon Monson of the Salt Lake Tribune wrote this article about where quarterbacks go to die.
Is it Utah?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
And he lists them in here. Boy, it is a who's who of flops, man.
Yeah. And
I mean, if you go all the way back to Alex Smith, who was great.
He was the last one, right? Well, and then who was the other one? When they beat Alabama, was it?
That was Johnson, I think.
Yeah, right. Was it Derek Johnson?
No, his name was...
Yeah, it's I can picture him. He was a black guy, number three.
Yeah, I think he coaches for him now.
Yeah, I think he's one of that. He might
Brian.
Be, yeah, Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
I think he's either their OC or their quarterback coach.
So Brian Johnson, he's talking about Brian Johnson had his ups and downs before flourishing in 2008. Tyler Huntley did likewise, and he peaked in 2019. He wasn't bad, Tyler Huntley.
No.
Here is the list of everyone else. Jake Bentley.
Okay.
Who came with... you know, big marks, but ended up going to South Carolina. Tommy Grady, Terrence Kane, Jordan Wynn, John Hayes, Travis Wilson, Kendall Thompson, Troy Williams, Jason Shelley, and then the biggest blunder of them all, favoring Jack Tuttle over a kid who wanted to go to Utah but ended up at BYU.
Zach Wilson.
A kid by the name of Zach Wilson.
And, you know, you put Zach Wilson on that Utah team a couple years ago, you know, and you've got a Pac-12 champion and the one that lost to Herbert. And, you know, maybe you got a special year. It's just weird that there are some teams that just for the life of them cannot find a quarterback. And it's one thing to be a bad team and, you know, you struggle to find players. But Utah, you know, pencil them in for 8 or 9 wins every year, and they're always contenders. And it's the one thing that they just can't seem to figure out. And I feel, too, that they go through different offensive coordinators and they just haven't been able to have a consistent offense.
Yeah, it's really weird how that happens. especially because I'm a Kansas fan and I watch Kansas and they're just god awful, but they actually have a decent quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I wonder if that guy, if he went to Utah, would he just suck? Because that's where quarterbacks go to die. Like, you got to wonder if this Brewer thing isn't going to hurt them
recruiting-wise?
In quarterback recruiting. Yeah. Like, nobody can succeed there.
No, I wonder. Like, if you are a quarterback and you're thinking about going somewhere in the Pac-12, is Utah really the place that you want to go play?
But at the same time, you'd be like, wow, they're stacked. And if I'm a good quarterback, I'm like, I'm the answer. We could be really good.
Yeah.
That's what Brewer thought, and now he's leaving.
Well, you know, LSU had a little bit of this. You know, for all of LSU's success, you know, they had a long run there where they couldn't seem to find a quarterback. And they had guys, again, not like Utah, but they had guys that were like top five, top six nationally. Florida has had a little bit of this. Trask was pretty good. But before that, I felt like Florida was in no man's land for years and years with Driscoll and all those cats. And they were terrible and could never find a guy. Nebraska is this way. Can't ever seem to find a quarterback. It just, we always talk about how hard it is to find a quarterback in the NFL and that quarterbacks are at a premium. And there's this idea that they're just falling out of the sky in college football and that anyone can get one because you don't necessarily have to be a great thrower of the football. But I think the truth of the matter is it's at any level, it's hard to find consistent quarterback play. And in the world of college football, yeah, you don't have to be as successful in the NFL because you don't have to be as talented and the game's a lot easier. But, you know, you also have to find of the major teams, you know, Power Five, you got to find like 80 of these guys. And, you know, the really good ones tend to get stacked up at one location, which is why I don't mind the transfer portal. I think as far as the transfer portal goes for quarterbacks, I think that's a good thing in college football. Because if you've got some quality talent stacked at one place, gosh, spread the wealth a little bit and get them out to some places that desperately need some quarterback help. Think about how many transfer quarterbacks have played major roles in college football the last handful of years. You know, if you want to go everyone from Joe Burrow to Jacob Eason at Washington, Oregon certainly has had their fairest transfer quarterbacks, and see this year with Anthony Brown.
So Brian Johnson is the quarterback's coach at the Philadelphia Eagles now.
Oh, okay, so he's moved on.
Yeah, do you know who the OC and quarterback's coach is at Utah? A familiar name.
OC quarterback's coach.
Been there a long time, it seems like.
Oh, is this the Oregon guy? Is this Ludwig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Ludwig.
Andy Ludwig.
How about that? Also, Jackson Dart is from Utah, and he's the kid that, as a freshman, just USC? Went in at USC, and now everybody's raving about him. He's from Utah. Let him get away.
Yeah. By the way, people are chiming in with some good ones here, but again, find me the last good Florida State quarterback. It's Jameis Winston, by the way.
Of course.
Find me the last good Texas quarterback. Like
Vince Young?
Yeah, right. I mean,
That guy.
Colt McCoy?
Yeah, no, Ellinger.
He was all right. He was a good college quarterback. Come on, you got to admit that. He was pretty good. Come on, man.
It's Vince Young, and it was Colt McCoy, and then not a difference maker since.
Oregon's quarterback U.
They've had good ones.
Just churning them out.
Look, and I know they had their little weird dip there with Burmeister and those guys, but that was because of injury. But if you look at Oregon's quarterback play, one of the reasons why Oregon has been good over the last 20 years is consistent quarterback play. Not necessarily great pros, but, you know, you just look back, Oregon has had good, solid quarterback play at that position for a long, long time. And that goes in, and that does go a long way to producing good years when you get good QB play.
All right, the top five easiest schedules left. Where does Oregon rank? Here's Mike.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, amazingly, is today Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday.
Amazingly, college football heavy again today. More NFL coming tomorrow with our hump day roundup.
Someone does point out, too, that we're talking about this college quarterback thing and how people are struggling. And this is a valid point. Said, is it a lack of good guys that go play or just not the right coaches and philosophy to get anything out of a QB? Look, that's chicken and the egg. We talk this a lot about fit in the NFL, right? And you have to have the right coaches and all this. But there is a huge misnomer that there's good coaching at high levels, because there is bad coaching in the NFL. There's bad coaching in college. And I do think there is a ton of that in college, where and in high school, too, where it, especially if you're a good athlete and you can just run around and make plays, you never really learn the nuances of playing. And there's a lot of college offenses that are really overly simplified. And, you know, they never really teach these kids a lot of critical thinking skills. And so if something doesn't go right or they get thrown to the wolves, I go back to the Braxton Burmeister thing at Oregon. Look at that's even a better example is Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is proving to be one of the best young quarterbacks we've seen come in the NFL in a decade. And look at what a bad offense and instability there from that position led to a good career, but a very erratic career at Oregon versus what you see. And I think a lot of that now we look back on and has to do with offensive philosophy and coaching.
Hmm. Yeah, I just have to think that when that many quarterbacks go to one and the head coach is consistent,
it's got to be something, right?
There's something in the water there. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's too loyal with Andy Ludwig, although Ludwig, I don't think he's been there quite as long as I thought he was. And he's, you know, he's changed coaches. He's had to change OCs, but I don't know. There's something there. Like, he's a defensive-minded guy, Whittingham. Mm-hmm. And
so maybe he put some handcuffs on it.
Right, kind of like the Cristobal thing.
Yeah, and he just wants to run the ball. And you know,
not that Cristobal's like that, but there's some criticism about how Cristobal just, you know, ground-and-pound offensive line guy. Yep. Maybe holding the OCs back. I think that last week that was debunked, or 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Maybe that was debunked a bit, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, and there are places that are known for producing offensive linemen, right? Because they have really good offensive line coaches, and they just crank them out.
Utah's been one of them.
Exactly. But maybe there is something to that effect of, you know, good coaches produce good players at that position. Like Wisconsin, right? I get that there's a lot of big boys out in Wisconsin, but there has to be something to the fact that they know how to coach offensive linemen. But there may be something to the fact that whatever reason, there are just some places that can't find the right people there to put a system in place that props up a quarterback.
Or it could be that success breeds success. In other words, there's just a pipeline in Wisconsin of offensive linemen. And the new offensive linemen coming up there are like, well, why wouldn't I go to Wisconsin? It's the first place they look because it's just
so they get
the
good
more yeah, they always get the good ones because the last ones fared well, right?
Yeah.
Well, it works the other way when you're at a school like Utah and maybe you struck out for 4 or 5 years in a row on a quarterback and now you haven't had that much success with your quarterbacks. There are success stories in there. Let's not make it sound like every quarterback there sucked. Yeah. Huntley was not bad.
Yeah, it's true, but he wasn't great.
He wasn't great.
But like I this is just my little myopic.
But Alex Smith was very good there.
But that was before, you know, that was Urban Meyer.
It was, but I'm just saying, like, maybe there's some truth to that on the flip side where when Charlie Brewer is now going to transfer, and guess what? Other quarterbacks aren't going to want to go there.
Yeah.
You're not going to get excellent quarterbacks to look at that because they're going, wait, what's going on here?
Why am I going here for that?
And so maybe that's the problem there is you're just not getting good enough players because you haven't proven that you're good enough with the players that you do get.
It's a very good point because I came from a place that produced quarterbacks. And I know for a fact, talking to kids that I played with, that weren't even LDS. They went to BYU. Why? Because there was a Hawaiian man there in charge of things that knew how to coach that damn position. And that was Norm Chow. And BYU produces quarterbacks. And you look back, you know, whether you want to go back to Jim McMahon and Steve Young and Mark Wilson. And I mean, it's on and on. Ty Detmer. There has been a lot of really good, well, guys that have gone to the NFL and a lot of really good college quarterbacks. And then when Norm left and Norm went to North Carolina State, who did Norm produce at North Carolina State? Phillip Rivers. And then we know, of course, where Norm went after that. Little place called USC, and they won Heisman trophies and national championships. Look, Norm Chow, like that's, there's a common denominator. Wherever that guy went, that guy produced quarterbacks. And I saw it firsthand. And it, there, so there probably is something to that, though, where you know you've got a guy that can coach and you've got a great rep. And so if you're a quarterback and you're deciding between, like back in the day, let's say you're deciding between, oh, I don't know, let's, you know, Arizona State, Utah, BYU, and, you know, Iowa State, and you're a quarterback, and there may be something to looking at the BYU thing and being like, hey, they...
Well, maybe that's Zach Wilson.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's ultimately why he decided there to
they,
go there.
They produce quarterbacks.
And what was I going to say? What was I going to tell you something? What's this? The school right now that's the hot one? It's just and they just keep getting them.
Oklahoma. Yep.
Lincoln Riley had success with. I mean, let's look at. I mean, who would have been?
Well, Baker, and then Jalen Hurts.
So Baker's success right there leads to getting Hurts, which leads to getting.
You know, every young quarterback wants to go play.
Who came in next? There was another transfer. Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray.
Which leads to
Spencer Rattler. Yeah, you win two Heisman trophies. You know,
and maybe it's just that simple.
And it's now a quarterback you.
I'll tell you what.
If you're a quarterback, why wouldn't you want to go play for Oklahoma?
I think Joe Moorhead's a guy that quarterbacks are going to want to play for.
I hope Oregon. If you're Oregon, pay that. Just throw. Yeah. And it's early on, but it appears. Pay that guy.
If I'm a QB, I want to go there and play for him. Maybe I think, you know what? I think we've solved this. It's like, you know who's really good at this too, and I think has the reputation for it, like you're saying, like Chow, is Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Have you seen what's happening with that quarterback at Ole Miss?
Yeah, Corral or whatever.
Heisman favorite now.
Yeah.
They're killing it.
Killing it.
Yes. Which is why I said if you're
killing
USC,
it.
Maybe call Lane up and be like, hey, can we?
Leach would be another one, but that's more scheme.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And he's, but he can get you some stats.
Yeah. You can put up numbers. He just is difficult.
Okay, now we'll get to the top five easiest schedules remaining in college football. All college football all the time. Is Oregon in the top five? Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, top five. This is a Pro Football Focus did this. Top five easiest schedules left in college football based on their metrics.
If I'm not mistaken, I know who number one is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I think I've referenced it on the show once or twice.
Oh.
If that's the same list, and I believe it is. I think I know who number one is.
Would it be Go Ducks?
I think it is Go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
It would be Go Ducks.
You know, it's like you look at what they have left, and you look at what like Clemson has left. Boy, there's a lot of cupcakes, a lot of road apples staring at you. So, you know, it's a bad thing from a strength of schedule standpoint if you're Oregon, but it's a very good thing when you look at it, and you're going to be, I would assume, significant favorites in just about every game. Maybe UCLA is within a touchdown or so, but, I mean, you should be favored significantly in in every game, and there's really not a ton that scares you. People are now trying to make Stanford out to be a scary team, which I guess.
They always give them trouble, don't they?
I don't know. I think Stanford's pretty average at best. I mean, they got drilled by Kansas State, but they made a quarterback switch.
But they drag them into the mud. Yeah. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
Stanford can drag you into the mud.
Well, I watched Kansas State drag them out of the mud and whip their ass. But they just got done bludgeoning, you know, USC.
But I think Oregon's better equipped to handle Stanford's physicality than they were, you know, 10 years ago.
Agreed. I mean, they just got done handling Ohio State's physicality. Yeah. I don't think Stanford's going to show them anything that's going to surprise them.
Exactly. Number two is Arizona State.
Again, I think you're going to may see a common theme in this.
Well, those are the only two Pac-12 schools.
That's the only two Pac-12?
Yeah, believe it or not. So the next two are ACC, which leads to the question, who's worse, Pac-12 or ACC? Miami is number three and North Carolina is number four.
Well, again,
so that stands to reason Pac-12, ACC.
Yeah, we just got done talking about the Pac-12
but
and the ACC.
Number five is an SEC school and a very good SEC school. They have the fifth easiest schedule left, and that's Florida. Who already, they just got done playing Alabama.
Played them close.
But it's interesting that they still have number two Georgia on their schedule, but they have the fifth easiest schedule left.
Huh. And they even said it afterwards. I'll look and see what they got left. Because he,
boy, I have it here.
Yeah, because Dan Mullins even said, he goes, look, and they have played Florida, or they've played Alabama tough the last couple years. Dan Mullen, by the way, has never beaten Nick Saban. I think it's the longest.
Ever?
It's the longest current stretch of one coach versus another.
How many times?
I think it's like 11 in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, going back to Mississippi State.
Yeah, but Saban beats a lot of people, though.
Saban beats a lot of people. But, again, it's the longest stretch. But he even said, he goes, look, I know we're getting close, but no moral victories. Hopefully we get another crack at him. And, again, if you're Florida, you're probably sitting fairly pretty. If we go through the schedule and it's as soft as they say it is, you will get a rematch with Alabama at the end of the year.
Well, Mullen, okay, so Florida lost to Alabama, but it felt like a win.
Yes.
Because
they didn't get blown out and they were in it.
It was a close game. Mullen, in his last two games against the Alabama defense and Nick Saban, he's put up 898 yards and 65 points. So he's doing something right, but he hasn't quite gotten over the hump against them. They have Tennessee at home. Tennessee sucks, right?
Yeah, Tennessee's not very good.
They are at Kentucky. I would assume Kentucky sucks, but I don't know.
I think that is the safe assumption.
They've been
over the last handful of years, they have put up.
Yeah. Stoops still there?
No, I don't think Stoops is still there.
Vanderbilt at home. That's a cupcake.
That is the definition of, oh, you know what? I stand
still
corrected.
There, bitch.
Mark Stoops still there. Yelling and freaking out at people.
Vanderbilt. Then they're at LSU.
And LSU is.
Okay.
That should be a win. LSU is not anything special.
They host Georgia.
Okay, that's the tough
one. That's legit.
That's legit.
At South Carolina, Samford.
Yeah, you always get the you get the bye week at the end of the year.
At Missouri, and then they get Florida State, who is 0-3.
Yeah. So really, you've got.
I don't think that's the easiest one of the top five easiest schedules when it's all said and done, but.
Well, I'm guessing
according to their metric right now, it is.
Well, I'm guessing they're just going off of record.
And Florida
right?
State and LSU are down, and the other teams suck. But then there's Georgia.
Yeah, so really, I mean, and at LSU, I guess is not going to be easy. LSU clearly has some issues, and Ed may get fired, but that's still a talent laden team. So at LSU is not going to be a gimme compared to what Oregon and what Arizona State have left. I'm sorry, but that's a murderer's row considering the fact that you have Georgia left and at least you play, you know, LSU team that's going to be talented and maybe Tennessee who's 2-1. Maybe look at what Oregon has left.
Yeah, it's not tough.
No, by the way.
Except for that Civil War.
Well, I mean, they got
against my Beavs.
They got them last year.
They sure did, Jace.
How about those Beavers? Like, we thought the UCLA game was going to be tough, and maybe that is, but which would you rather have as the really, if you said there's one contest left on your schedule that scares
it's
you?
It's not Georgia.
Yeah, you want Georgia or you want at UCLA? I'll go ahead and take UCLA.
I don't think that's even a question.
No, and they don't even have to play USC.
I know.
We don't even know if USC is any good, but I know we know from a talent standpoint.
Is Washington going to beat him? Tell me Washington's not going
to
beat him.
I don't think Washington can score enough points to beat anyone that's good. I mean, it's a long way off. I mean, because that's what, November, like early, mid-November that they play that one. I want to say it's like 4th or fourth game left in the year, something to that effect. You know, a lot can happen. You could have Sam Heward in there by then. We do know that We do know that Washington can play defense, and if they can get an offense figured out, maybe there's something there. Honestly, you look at it, and the game outside of UCLA that maybe worries you right now is, I guess people are saying Stanford, and that's at Stanford.
Okay,
you got Arizona, and then you're on the road at Stanford, and I think the only reason that is because Stanford had the one win against USC.
So who's worse, Pac-12 or ACC? Answer that question. The ACC has multiple losses to the MAC, and they have a losing record against Power 5 non-cons.
But the Pac-12 has a ton of losses to the Mountain West.
That's right.
And three losses to an independent team in BYU.
This is correct.
Bar 2 did something on this today. Let me find it.
Let's hear it.
He did... You know how he has his like efficiency rankings, top 50 teams in efficiency, offensive and defensive. He said the Pac-12, I will find it, only Pac-12 teams in the top 50 in FBS after 3 weeks in total team scoring efficiency, Oregon, the Beavs, whoa, UCLA, and Stanford. There's only four teams.
In the top 15?
Top 50.
50.
The ACC has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams in the top 50. Boston College, Clemson, NC State, Pitt, Syracuse, and Wake Forest.
So we're saying Pac-12 worse,
yes,
than the ACC.
Big 12 has 5. The Big 10 has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the SEC has everybody but 5 schools.
You know what's odd is the ACC has been garbage for a while, and they're just buoyed up by Clemson. Have you seen Clemson at all this year?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the Georgia game.
They do not look good.
I haven't been. Now, their defense is good. I'll give you that. I haven't been overly impressed. If Oregon and Clemson played on a neutral field, I think that's a coin flip game. Look, seeing what they did to Ohio State, as dominant as they were, now, I'd be interested to see what they could do against Clemson's defense, because I know that's a lot better than what Ohio State ran out there. But like, I'm not so certain that Clemson this year is the juggernaut that that we're used to. And if you take that away, then I don't know what the ACC is. And I guess we'll see how Oregon goes, because we need Oregon to keep winning. If you're the Pac-12, you're just hoping that Oregon can run the table and represent, because if Oregon stubs their toe once or twice along the way to this level of competition, then you just throw your hands up and, you know,
say eat me.
Yeah. You're just like, we suck.
All right, the club is next, guys. We've got pandemic-era breakups are on the rise. Sad out there. Mm. The kids.
Mike?
Well, he would be one, right?
Technically before the pandemic.
Was it?
Right before, February.
Mm. Maybe the pandemic could have kept you together, could have brought you back together.
No.
You and your ex-wife.
Based on how things were going, I think it would have been way worse.
You would have given her the COVID. Do you wish COVID upon her?
She already got it.
That's a yes.
Mike had that one holstered right there. She already got it good. And then under his
there was definitely a good in there.
Yeah,
for
there,
sure.
There was a little stank on that COVID. There was a little stank there.
All right. It's 5:59. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.